It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, Chaddy De Hare with expert boundary riding information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
With six rounds remaining, the top four is starting to take shape, with the defending premiers West Perth pretty much out of the competition now. Hi, I'm Michael Stamp. Welcome to the round 16 of the Monday Waffle as I welcome Chaddy De Hare.
Thank you, Stampy.
How are you today?
I'm well, but you're looking a little worse for wear, Stampy.
Chaddy, I've had only a few hours sleep, not just because of the World Cup was on, but I'm on bird watch at the airport for Dominic Bird from Malaysia.
And he's not in town.
He's not rocking up. Dominic, if you're listening to the Monday Waffle, please rock up so you can save me some sleep. Anyway, let's move on to the Monday Waffle and recap all the game. But first, we'll talk about the biggest points from the weekend. West Perth, Chaddy, their title defence is pretty much over. And we said it last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We made the call last week. And I think this week, the nail is in the coffin. They're done and dusted.
Yeah, so they're sitting three games back from fourth place East Fremantle on 24 points. East Fremantle are 36. And with six rounds remaining, it's just going to be too hard, especially with their tough run coming up as well. Let's go through the ladder. East Perth are on top with 48 points, one game clear of Swan Districts with 44. Another game back is Subiaco on 40, and then East Fremantle 36. And down the bottom of the ladder, it's Peel Thunder and Perth equal on 12 points. So Peel may avoid the wooden spoon.
They might. They had a two-point win over Claremont, which was at Bendigo Bank Stadium, which was, fantastic. Claremont, of course, they're 18 behinds.
Yeah, we'll talk about
18.
We will talk about that later as well. Two teams without coaches for next season. That was a matchup on Saturday afternoon with South Fremantle eventually winning. A bit of a game to prove to their future coaches if they're watching.
That's right, and South Fremantle ended up taking the cake there, by 12 points. So
yep, and. But the biggest game of the weekend was East Perth and East Fremantle. Two winning streaks going up against each other, 8-6. And you were there. It was the Royals recording their ninth straight win.
It is. It was their ninth straight win. That was the first time since they won the premiership in 2001 where they've won nine straight. And if they win 10 straight, they've got the bye this week. But if they win it their 10th game against West Perth, I should say, that'll be 10 in a row, and that's the first time they've won that since 1996, which was the year they were in the grand final against Claremont.
You know your Royals very well, don't you?
Oh, that was a Corbin Middlemas stat, actually. I shouldn't take claim to that.
No worries. All right, let's get into the game. East Perth, East Fremantle. The final score was 14 goals 20, 104 to East Perth, to 11 goals 10, 76 for the Sharks, and in front of a decent crowd of 2,000 at Medibank Stadium.
Yeah, there was a pretty good crowd there. It was our district family fun day, so there was a few people around. But East Fremantle, they got within 3 points at three-quarter time. They actually had the lead for a few moments there in the third quarter, but Fraser McInnes kicked one just before the three-quarter time siren, and the Royals were 3 points up, and then they kicked away in the last quarter.
Exactly. They kicked 5-7. To 2 goals in the last quarter, and those last 2 goals from the Sharks were pretty much within the last couple of minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, within maybe the last five minutes.
And it's a really good win for East Perth because they only had 6 West Coast listed players in their team. Ash Smith, Simon Tunbridge, Dom Sheed, Callum Sinclair, Adam Carter and Blaine Wilson were all absent from the game. They were into the Eagles team on Thursday night, so we didn't really know that, and I was a bit nervous on Saturday going, oh, God, there's hardly any Eagles in this team. What are we going to see?
But come on, Stamper, you've got to have some faith in us.
Yeah, no, I am. And obviously, they played very well. Craig Wolf, the Wolf man, as we spoke about last week, had 36 touches. And your man, Brendan Lee, 28. Sherrod Wellingham was very impressive as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got 26 possessions, 7 inside 50s. He had a good run. And Matt Gordon as well kicked 2 goals, which is very, very good.
He came into the side this week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Hopefully he can keep his spot as well. For the Sharkies, Brad Dalziel was very impressive with 34 touches and 2 goals. So we spoke to Rory O'Brien last week about potentially Brad Dalziel stealing votes off him. I think he might steal a couple more off him this week.
I think he might have, yeah, because Rory got 29 disposals, but he didn't kick any goals.
No, he needs to get on the scoreboard a bit more. And Mark McGough had 26, Andrew Stephen 24. East Perth, they'll have the bye this weekend. Good time for them, or will it hurt their momentum?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably nice for them to have a bit of a break. But, yeah, I guess next weekend will tell.
It's the Monday Waffle.
Let's move on to South Fremantle and Perth, battling it out at Lathlain Park. It was two teams at the bottom end of the ladder, and it was the Bulldogs who got up by 12 points, 13 goals 11, 89, to the Demons, 10 goals 17, 77. A very inaccurate display from the Demons, Katie.
Yeah, it was. You were saying earlier, what did I get out of this game? And I think I'm going to say Hayden Schloyth. I think he should be back on an AFL list.
He's been very impressive this season. Had another 30 possession game, which, you know, he's playing really well. He'll be up there in the Sandover medal, I believe. And especially with Ashton Hams missing on the weekend, he may get a few more votes.
Yeah, that's right. And Ben Saunders as well. He kicked 6.
Well, speaking of Big Benny, he's up equal in the Bernie Naylor medal.
With Boland now.
Yeah, well, Matty Boland's missing a couple of games with injury, so they're on 38 apiece. Benny Saunders may be getting towards the Bernie Naylor again. But this game was pretty much two teams without their coaches, and it was a good display from the Bulldogs to get a win away from home.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Mitch Morton, though, for Perth, he kicked 5, so that's a really good effort there.
Yeah, he's playing very well indeed. And, you know, him and Paul Bevan actually kicked 4 behinds for the game, so if he kicked truly, it would have been a different story.
And Jared Morton as well, in my Morton watch, 20 possessions there, so he did.
Where's Kale?
I don't know where Kale is, actually.
I think he's in Melbourne.
Is he?
I saw a photo on the weekend, so I don't know what the reason is for that, but he's in Melbourne. But this game, as we said, Ashton Hams wasn't playing, Captain Ryan Cook wasn't playing. Captain Cook, that's a good one, isn't it? We'll actually be speaking to him later in the podcast, which is great. And Adam Guglielmana, got that out correctly, he didn't play either. But James Seller played really well at centre half back. He's been a good recruit for them from Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's been really good.
Can you run us through a few of the major ball winners?
Yeah, that's right. Matt Moody from Perth, he got 22 disposals. Aidan Tropiano, 28. We spoke about him last weekend.
Continuing his good form since switching from East Fremantle.
Jared Morton as well. I said him before, 20 possessions.
Yep. And Sean Buick for the Bulldogs stepped up in the absence of Ashton Hams and Ryan Cook with 29. Timmy Kelly, 25. And James Seller, as we said, with 22 possessions down back.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
We're joined now by injured South Fremantle captain Ryan Cook. Ryan, what's the injury and how long are you expected to be out for?
Okay, what I've done is torn a ligament in my right ankle. So playing against Claremont a couple of weeks ago and got tackled and sort of fell awkwardly on it. Luckily, I was right near the bench, so I could hobble off. And I'm in a moon boot now, so I've been in it for 2 weeks and I should miss almost the end of the season. So I could come back for the last two. You never know.
Yeah, it's disappointing to hear. How was it watching the game from the sidelines on the weekend?
Yeah, it was awkward, mate. I've only sort of missed one game playing for South, so started off watching the first quarter and I was excited to see the boys run out, and then just as the game went on, I got more frustrated. So it's never good watching the boys go at it. You always want to be out there with them, but it was fantastic to see them get a win.
Exactly. That I was just about to say, it's fantastic to get a win, and especially away from home.
Yeah, it was an awesome game by the boys. They played really well out at Lathlain there. So it was always going to be a tight contest against Perth. We're sort of both travelling the same at the moment. The boys were wrapped after the game. It was good.
Now, there's a few guys that are doing pretty well this year, Ashton Hams, Hayden Schloyth and Ben Saunders. Who out of those three would rate themselves as this year's Sandover Fancy?
Oh, shit. That would rate themselves. That's a big question. Sloythy always talks pretty highly of himself, I think. So with Saundo close behind him, I suppose. But I'll run with Sloythy there.
Now, speaking of him, I was at the Claremont game 2 weeks ago. He was wearing one pink and one light blue boot. Can you talk me through that? And what was his thinking behind that decision?
Look, mate, I'm not 100% on it. I don't think he hadn't worn them at training that week, so it might have been a Saturday morning job, that one, where he went out and bought them and thought it was a good idea. But don't you worry, he copped a lot of flack before the game.
Well,
actually a bit out there with the Claremont boys too.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? Well, he's still backing it up. He had a great game on the weekend, 30 touches, and with the absence of Ashton Hams, the midfield still played pretty well.
Yeah, Sloythy's one, I suppose, with Timmy Kelly and Jacob Martinez, that in my eyes have come a long way over the 3 years I've been at South. And Sloythy's really blossomed, especially this year. I think his time he had on Freo's list did him really well. So yeah, he's just getting better week by week. I think consistency is something with him and both and Timmy Kelly that I've spoken to him about, that they needed to bring into their games. And yeah, he's really, really doing that this year.
Now, big Benny Saunders, he kicked 6 goals on the weekend from 6 kicks. Are you all going to be kicking it to him? You want him to get up for the Bernie Naylor medal this year?
we haven't spoken about that, but now you've mentioned, I could bring it up this week. There's not a heap. I mean, finals is out of the picture at the moment for the rest of this year, so we need something to work towards, and I think that'll be a good thing to try and get him another Bernie, that's for sure. Hopefully he can get 10 kicks a game and make it 10 goals.
That'd be brilliant. It'd be good to see as well. And finally, it has been a tough season for yourself and the club. You must be hoping for a good finish to the season and have a good end to Paul Hazelby coaching the team?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously want to keep playing as hard as we can for Hayes. It's sad to see him leave, but we've got to get something out of the season. As we did it the last couple of years, we sort of started pretty poorly in the middle section of the year and ended strong, so it'll be 3 years in a row now, hopefully, if we can do that and take something into 2015 pre-season.
Well, all the best for the rest of this year. All the best for your injury as well. And all the best for next season. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle. Yeah, the Monday Waffle.
Our next game featured Claremont travelling to Bendigo Bank Stadium to take on the Thunder. Been playing really well in the past month. 2 games on the trot. They'll be hoping for 3, but they couldn't get the job done. They kicked 9 goals, 18, 72, going down by 2 points to the Thunder, 11 goals, 8, 74. A missed opportunity for Claremont to, keep pushing towards a good end of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I just saw here, Stampy, you've been saying it all year, Tom Ledger. He came into the league side, replaced Luke Blackwell, you said?
Yeah, a sort of a late inclusion it was. He's been playing okay in the reserves team, but if a guy like Blackwell's not going to be there, they needed a guy that's going to get the ball a lot. So a good inclusion, and he played really well, 25 touches and 2 goals. Surely that will keep him in the side for next week, and hopefully they'll get Blackwell back and Jake Murphy, who didn't play again. So he's coming back from injury, and hopefully he's back next weekend.
That's right. And someone else who had a really good game, who would be definitely pushing for selection in the Freo team, Matt DeBoer, 31 possessions.
And 10 tackles. That's the part of his game where he really excels. So Ross Lyon will be hoping to continue to see that form. And a few other guys played really well for Peel that are on the Fremantle list. Michael Wood played his best game of the season, no doubt, kicking 4 goals. Max Duffy kicked 2 goals, and Jonathan Griffin, he is a monster, isn't he? 17 touches and 38 hitouts against Mark Seabee, who's no scrub.
No.
He's a premiership player. He is no scrub at all. Seabee had 24 hitouts, but what was the total in the end?
Yeah, they won those hitouts 62 to 37. So Seabee obviously did very well, 37 hitouts, but 62.
Yeah, because Jack Hanneth is there as well.
Yeah.
So a great rucking combo. And that's Peel's strength, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all their tall men.
So Peel recorded its third win of the season, and they didn't really dominate the stats, though. They had 32 less touches, 35 less marks, and 8 less scoring shots for the match. How did they get the win?
They were just more accurate.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right. And Peel were a different team at Bendigo Bank Stadium, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think they really enjoy playing at home, and they've got that Hayden Ballantyne wing there giving them some inspiration.
The King of Mandra. Anyway, Trinity Hanley played really well for the Tigers, kicking 3 goals. Anton Hamp kicked a couple as well. Ryan Neitz has been really impressive the past couple of weeks. He had 37 touches for the Tigers. And you mentioned Ben Danaher, 24, and Tommy Taylor, 22. For the Thunder, we mentioned Matt DeBoer had 31. Jacob Ballard had 33. Brendan Jones, 24, and Tommy Sheridan, 21. So a few guys pushing for selection for the AFL side, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So hopefully they'll get their chance soon.
Hello, this is Basil Zemplis, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle. Go the Falcons.
Thank you, Basil Zemplis, for that, lending your time to do a nice little promo for us at the Monday Waffle.
He wouldn't have been happy, though.
No, as he said go the mighty Falcons, but they are in a lot of trouble indeed, aren't they?
Well, they're not so mighty anymore.
No, no, you're not. No. They're not. They actually had a goalless 50-minute stretch in this game, and that killed them. The second quarter, Subiaco went on a 4-goal run, and they kept that margin for the rest of the day, didn't they?
They did, yeah, and ended up winning by 25 points in the end.
The Falcons, they couldn't give their new supporters exactly what they wanted, and Subiaco dominated the contest, keeping that lead, leading by as much as 46 points midway through the third term. And then the Falcons came back with a few goals in the last quarter, but eventually going down by 25 points. It was the Lions, 13 goals, 19, 97, inaccurate again for another team, to 11 goals, 6, 72 for the Falcons. A few guys missing for the Lions in this game. Full forward Matt Boland was out, and big man recruit that they got from the VFL, Lachie Delahunty, left with a knee injury in his first game back from injury.
Yeah, another one there. Andrew McDougall, 2 goals.
He's been really good for them since joining halfway through the season, hasn't he?
We spoke about him a couple of weeks ago, being his 31st birthday. And, doing very well, even though he's over the 30 mark now.
Exactly. And Frank Stockley, against his former team, had a pretty competitive duel against Chris Kiernan in the ruck. Good recruit for Stockley. And Subiaco had a lot of ball winners on the day, didn't they?
They did. Wade Toomey, 28 disposals. Carl Horsley, he had 26 and kicked a goal. Chris Phelan as well, 27 and kicked a goal. And Sean Hildebrandt, 24.
For the Falcons, Nick Rodder continued his good form with 2 goals. And Mark Crisp, when he wasn't giving away free kicks, in the third term, he gave away 2 free kicks in the matter of 30 seconds. And he was having a rough day, but he kicked 2 goals as well. Rowan Kerr played really well, 31 touches, their hero from the grand final last year. And Shane Nelson, 30. Aaron Black, 29. And Jay Van Berlo, 25. So the usual suspects are still getting a lot of the ball for the Falcons. But as we said, finals footy looks out of the equation for the Falcons.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
Let's look back at round 16 tips that we put in. We all went with East Perth and we got the chocolates there. Claremont was the game that stuffed us all up, wasn't it?
It did. I don't know. I should have tipped Peel. I always tip Peel.
You and always then I tip him.
Tipped against them and there you go.
Yeah, unlucky indeed. We all went, myself and Jack went South Fremantle. Yourself and Bonnie went Perth. But, you know, tough game to pick.
Yeah,
flip of the coin.
It was 12 points in the end.
So that has an effect on Bonnie in the overall standings. She actually falls 1 point back. So she's 2 off myself and Jack. Myself and Jack are on 41. Bonnie's on 39. And Katie, you're on 30. You're in the 30s. Well done. Let's
And I've still applause. Got that wooden spoon tightly in my grasp. So.
Yes. Well, the other Tara and Chris sort of stopped tipping, so
yeah,
you can claim that. So yeah, even at the leaderboard on 41 between myself and Jack, and Bonnie is 2 points behind, and then Katie, 10 points off, or 11. Let's move on to round 17, and three teams have the bye. The Royals, the Falcons, and the Bulldogs all have the bye. Three games on Saturday afternoon. It's Claremont taking on Swan Districts, Katie. Big game for Swans because they lost to Claremont last time they met in round 14.
I'm saying this is a danger game, I think, for the Swans.
Definitely. Definitely agree.
Very much a danger game.
And Claremont, we were saying earlier about Peel playing really well at home. Claremont have won three of their five games at the Showgrounds this year. Going to be a really good match, I think.
I think obviously Claremont will be wanting to account for the weekend's loss, so I think they'll be putting up a good show, and they'll be confident against Swan Districts, knowing that they beat them last time they played. So, yeah, I'm tipping Claremont.
It's not as dumb as people might think, because, you know, one win apiece head-to-head this year. Both games have been at Steel Blue Oval, though. So, you know, Claremont at home with
You'll
the confidence.
You'll be there, Stampy. They'll have the confidence of Stampy.
I'll be on the mic, yes. No, but it's really tough. It's a tough game to tip. I'll go with Swan Districts just because they've come off the bye, and, you know, they'll want to keep in touch with ex-Perth to get their top two finish. So Swan Districts for me, but I'm not incredibly confident with it. Next game is East Fremantle versus Peel. The Sharks will want to get back on the winners list.
They will. They won't want to forfeit that fourth spot, although we said we don't think they will. So I think
they can't get too comfortable.
No.
They need to keep winning.
And I think pretty confidently they should win over Peel.
They should take care of Peel, even though Peel did get a good win on the weekend. The Sharks were coming off their six-game winning streak, hoping to bounce back. And the Sharks have won both games this year against the Thunder in round 5 and 11. So the Sharks are the both of us?
Yes.
Let's move on to Subi and Perth. This is the last game of the round. Subiaco have won both games in this year in round 8 and 12. Similar margins, 24 and 32-point margin, and round 12 was in Kalgoorlie. What are your thoughts on this game, Katie?
Well, it would be nice if Subi didn't win, but I think pretty confidently they will.
Yeah, they will. They're back at Medibank Stadium, and as we said, the last time these two teams met was in Kalgoorlie, so the Lions should get up pretty comfortable here. We can't see Demons causing a bit of an upset.
Well, if they did, you know, it'd work in quite a few teams' favour. But
yeah. So recapping, we're both in agreement that Subi and the Sharks will get up, but we differ on Claremont and the Swans, with Katie going with the Tigers and myself going with the Swans. That's it for today on round 16 of the Monday Waffle. Thanks, Katie, for joining me.
Thank you, Stampy. Thank you for
having me. We have the whole team back next week, which is good. We've all been working and doing a bit of work experience on our uni break, so the whole team will be back next week. Jack, Bonnie, and hopefully Tara as well, so that'll be good.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And thanks for joining us this week, and we'll catch you next week for round 17 of the Monday Waffle.